Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in today. I am Michael Greywolf, artist, traveler, all-around geek, witch, and a brother initiate and soon-to-be teacher of the Unnamed Path.
And I'm Matthew Sidney, songwriter, storyteller, urban bard, mystic, and also a brother initiate of the Unnamed Path.
And you're listening to Walking Down the Unnamed Path. On this podcast, we will be discussing teachings and techniques given to us by the ancestors and laid out by our late founder, Hyperion. We'll also touch on topics and ideas pertaining to queer pagan men in general. We're glad you joined us, and we hope you'll be part of the show by calling area code 347-308-8222. Hang out in the chat room or dropping us an email at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at walking_theup, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/walkingtheunnamedpath. So how have you been, Matthew, since the last time we've spoken? What have you been up to?
I've been well. Things are very good. We had a Palm Beach Pagans, which I'm a part of here in Palm Beach County, Florida. We performed a public autumn equinox celebration at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of North Palm Beach. It was beautifully attended. We had well over 40 people, and this was our very first one. So it was very exciting, and we structured it as a feast and had a long table laid out with all kinds of delicious food. And we ritualistically, before breaking bread, we ritualistically descended into the underworld, escorting the goddess, if you will, down to the underworld for the dark season and to pay our respects to the ancestors there and break bread with them before celebrating our abundant harvest. It was beautiful. And what have you been up to?
Oh, let's see. I've been doing a little bit of traveling. Last weekend, my partner and I went up to Chicago for the Greater Chicagoland Pagan Pride, and that was a lot of fun. We went up on Saturday. Pagan Pride was on Sunday, but we went up on Saturday and hung out with a friend of ours from Pagan Spirit Gathering. He let us crash at his place. He took us, he showed us a really nice restaurant and whatnot, and got to hang out with him for a bit. Then on Sunday, like I said, my partner and I went to, oh, what is the place called? It's Home Park is the area, but it's Pleasant Home is the site where they have Greater Chicagoland Pagan Pride. It's this beautiful, beautiful house. Lots of pagan-esque architecture in it. Like there's griffins, there's a green man sculpture there. It's supposed to be like the last house that this particular architect built, and they've preserved it and a lot of the surrounding property to be how it was when he originally was there. And
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful site. I'm so glad they have it there. They had it there last year, and I think this is the regular home for it. So it was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of my friends from the greater Illinois area who go to many of the pagan events here. Got to see my friends who are in the band Sentinel Grove perform. Always a fun hanging out with them. And I also got to hang out with fellow Pagan Tonight radio host Laura Gonzalez. She was doing her booth for tarot reading and whatnot, and we took a picture and I posted it on my Facebook, Pagan Tonight radio hosts in the house. And I also went to a workshop. I went to a workshop being done by the fabulous Selena Fox. Do you know who Selena Fox is, Matthew?
Yes, I do.
She's so much fun to hang out with. I have a lot of funny stories about Selena Fox. I've gotten her drunk before. she's fun. But her workshop was on broom magic and all sorts of different ways to incorporate broom magic into our craft and whatnot. And it was very educational. I got quite a bit out of it. Got to meet and hang out with one of our fellow brothers, Paul Law, and his partner, Chris. It was so much fun to meet them and hang out with them. Paul, wasn't he an initiate when you were going through your process too?
Yes, Paul and I were in the same class we went through together. He's an amazing guy. I love him.
Yeah, he so much fun. But, other than that, kind of had a little bit of bad news this weekend. My partner found out while we were at Pagan Pride that his aunt, his youngest aunt on his mom's side, her health suddenly took a very, very sharp turn for the worse, and she ended up passing away this past Wednesday. There's a lot to it, but I'm not going to go into that. But she's in a better place now. She's no longer in any pain. And his family's, they're taking it in strides. It's really hard because she was fine on Friday and then just started going downhill.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Her memorial is tomorrow. And also, unfortunately, we both caught a cold, right after she passed away. And so I'm a lot better. And Jeff is getting to the point where he's almost completely better. So we're hoping to be, cold-free by the time for the memorial tomorrow. But, yeah. Other than that, it's been a pretty okay couple of weeks, but I am very excited about today's show. Today we are very delighted to have one of our fellow brothers and teachers of Ending Path, David Shorey. We are hoping that this will be one of several interviews, as we hope to feature each of the teachers in our tradition on this show.
Now, just for our audience members, David Shorey is, of course, a brother initiate and teacher of the Ending Path, a student of Druidry, and an apprentice of Orion Foxwood's House of Bree Fairy Seership Institute. A native of California, David grew up on the Monterey Peninsula, where he connected very early with the natural and spiritual worlds. Inspired to public service, David received a BA in government from California State University, Sacramento. He's finishing a certificate in nonprofit management from the University of San Diego and has worked in the nonprofit world for the past 20 years. And
greetings, David. Welcome to the show.
I am. Hello, everyone.
How you doing, David?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on here. And it's very exciting to have this next generation of Unnamed Path conversations. So thank you.
Thank you for joining us. David, when did you first start on your magical journey? What did you practice before you discovered the unnamed path?
Well, it's a good question, because when people ask it, I always have to I always have to pause and think about it, because I was one of those folks who, like I said in my, you know, in the bio, I grew up on the Monterey Peninsula in the on the coastal town of Pacific Grove, and I was very lucky that growing up there, I was able to go out and explore on my own, and, you know, I would on weekends be able to leave the house at 10 in the morning and say, Mom, I'm going to go down and take a walk and go to the beach. And I would go down and I would go to the beach and I would sit and hang out and just listen to the waves and listen to the, you know, the messages that I got from the ocean or from the rocks. Or I would head over to the cemetery and hang out there and commune there. Or I would go climb a tree and sit in a tree. And so I would have these moments where I was having these spiritual connections, but I wasn't really, you know, it was kind of the, there was no formality to it. It was just something that felt right and felt comfortable. And so I moved from there. When I went up to college, I kind of focused in on my college experience and did that, and then went on to work. And then in about 2005, I had some experiences that drew me back to wanting to connect with my spiritual side and what does that mean, and, you know, and so I did some research, and I felt a calling and a draw to the Druidry. Druidry is my first spiritual tradition, and because it resonated very well with me in terms of its connection with nature, and I have ancestry that is connected to the Northern Isles and the stories and the bardic aspect, and so that is my first spiritual tradition. And from there, I practiced that for and connected with that community for a while, and I still am. And then in 2009, I connected with the Unnamed Path, and I connected with Hyperion, and he began teaching me, and the rest, as they say, is history. And then more recently, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just was going to ask, how did you when you met Hyperion, and this is at a much earlier stage, right, of the
yes.
the path, how did, how is it that you got attracted to the path, and what inspired you to make the commitment to study it?
Well, you know, in Druidry, there is very much the polar aspect in terms of looking at, I mean, since in certain parts of Druidry, because it's inspired by kind of the modern neo-pagan movement, you know, looking at God and goddess, and you look at the Wheel of the Year, and it's focused on fertility. Once you dive deeper, you get somewhat more, you know, a broader worldview. But I really wanted to have a connection to who I was as a gay man, as a man who loves men. And I first found the Unnamed Path through some of the podcasts, and then I met Hyperion at
an event called Pantheacon up in San Jose, which occurs President's Day weekend. And the information and the way that he was presenting it really did resonate with me. And so it was something that I felt very comfortable connecting with and going down that experience, down that road of exploring, a path that honors my role as a man who loves men and my feeling of wanting to be of service to the community as a whole.
Awesome. What type would you say of magic do you specialize in? We know we have brothers that do a lot of work with herbs, sigils, astrology, but what would you say your flavor of magic is?
Pralines and cream. No. I would say that it really is as a whole just connecting with nature and working with the spirits of the land. I do magical spells. I do some divination. In the unnamed path, we've got four paths, four parts. Pretty much engage in them all. But as a pulling back, as a broader sense, really it's the magic that I do. Is magic that is, I do spells, but I'm not a very formal spell person. So it's kind of a situation where I will, if I'd like to affect change in some way, I will connect with my spirit guides and guardians and my ancestors and work with them to affect change in the world around me.
How has the unnamed path influenced your spiritual path and your practice?
I would say that really brought the emphasis of connecting with ancestors, connecting with the spirits of the land in a way that while it's emphasized in Druidry as a whole, was not really emphasized in some of the training that I had done, and so it really formalized that. Those types of connections and gave me a strong, it showed the importance of having those types of connections, connections that transcend, time, space, blood, and bone, but are very important for you to have in order for you to affect magical change.
And what inspired you to become a teacher of the unnamed path?
Really, it was Hyperion's death. It was something that I had indicated I was going to do. And in fact, I had informed Hyperion that I wanted to be a part of his next class, and then he died, and then it was like, okay, I've got to do this for sure. I think stepping back, what it was is that the Unnamed Path had really provided me with a strong spiritual community, magical community, a connection to who I am as a manualist man. And I really wanted to work with others to help, you know, those who are interested become part of the tradition. And also, you know, I had been involved with the Unnamed Path, you know, the third initiate into the tradition. And really, when you teach something, you learn as much as your students do. And so for me, there was also a bit of selfishness in that I wanted to dive back into the material and really strengthen my knowledge of the material, my experience with the material. And here was a great way of doing that by teaching the material, because, you know, it's one of those things where when you're teaching it and you get asked a question and you don't know the answer to the question, it's definitely a learning opportunity for both you and the student. So the primary motivator was because of Hyperion's death, but then it had been something that had been sitting there for a while, and then I had the opportunity and took it.
What would you say to someone who's thinking about becoming a student? How would you advise them to prepare themselves?
I would say, to forget everything that you've learned so far, and not forget it, but put it aside. There are so many resources out there that are available to folks in books, in videos, in podcasts, in conferences, that folks can be exposed to magical material and gain, you know, magical information and magical skill. When you go through an initiation or an apprenticeship, really having the focus in on that experience. You may have been, you know, received your third degree in a tradition of Wicca. You may have been initiated into an Afro-Caribbean, you know, spiritual path. You may do British traditional witchcraft. Or what, you know, you may do your own eclectic mix. But really, when you come into this, really take the opportunity to soak up the material and soak up the material as it's presented to you, so that you have the experience of going through and being there like almost like a child, you know, or someone when you're learning something new and suddenly you become wide-eyed and you're like, oh, wow, you know. Even if you've heard the information before, remember that this is information that's being presented to you in a way that maybe you've been presented differently or with a different lens or different color to it. So take advantage of that and come in as a student, because we don't have these opportunities all that often, and it's really, I think it does a disservice to the apprentice and it does a disservice to the studying if someone goes in with, oh, I know that already, or I've had experience with that already, or I've done this already. You know, it's part of the growing process comes out of the journey. And in fact, for many, the journey is more important than the actual destination.
That's so true. There's a lot of folks who are curious about Unnamed Path and thinking about taking the class when the next class is available. And many of these folks, of course, have listened to Hyperion's podcast and know him through that. But obviously with Hyperion's passing, they don't have the benefit of being able to chat with him. but you have known him. Is there anything that you would tell those of us who've never met him? What would you have to say to us about him to kind of give us a little bit more color about him and his contribution to the path overall? What do you feel that we should know?
Let's see here. I would say that Hyperion was inspired from a very young age to learn, to experience. If you ever talked to his mother, Vicky, or you know, anyone who knew him growing up, you would hear stories about, you'd be like, I want to learn this. And he would, you know, he would learn it. And some of this was starting off like at 5 and 6 years of age, where he would want to learn something crocheting or knitting or art or music or and he would just dive deep into the material and find himself more knowledgeable than, you know, than some of the experts around it. And so passion that he had for knowledge, the passion that he had for experience. He also, you know, was almost a larger than life personality in terms of, you know, you would feel him come into the room. You would, when you interact with him, whether it was through online conversations or in-person conversations, the genuineness of what it was that he had and who he was shown through. You know, I will say, and it's not to discredit him or anything, but, you know, he was human, and so he was not perfect in any way, shape, or form. But I think the fact that I think he knew that, and I think part of his mission of learning was not to overcome that, but to embrace that, but to embrace it in a way that celebrates and celebrated his existence here full form. And so I will always cherish the time that I had with him as a teacher, as a friend, as a brother, as a walker through this experience of life. I don't think that there's a day that doesn't go by that something will remind me of him, and I to reflect on the fact that I had him as a teacher, but I also cherish the fact that I had him as a friend.
Mm. Well, thank you for sharing that. We're about at our halfway mark, and before time runs away from us, David, what can you tell us about Stone and Stang, which is coming up really fast?
Sure. Stone and Stang. Stone and Stang is October, 7th through the 10th. And it is a weekend of basically magical men who love men experiences. This is a conference, a retreat that's held in the Santa Cruz Mountains. It's organized by the Brothers of the Unnamed Path. This year's particular focus will be on shamanic work. If folks are interested in learning about more about it and attending, they should visit www.stoneandstang.com. There's information on it costs to attend. There's registration is $40, and then there are accommodations, lodging expenses that range from camping to staying in the bunk area. So I would really encourage you to check it out and attend. It's a wonderfully intimate setting where you're able to connect not only with other members of the tribe of Men Who Love Men, but specifically Brothers of the Unnamed Path. And it's fun. It's fun to get away. It's in a beautiful environment. And it's just a nice get together. So,
what kind of activities go on? What can folks who are curious expect to get out of Stone and Stang?
Sure. So, like I said, the theme this year is going to be focused kind of on shamanic work. That is. Connecting with the spirit world. And so there is going to be there's going to be spirit contact circles. There's going to be some energy work. There's going to be some shamanic dance work that will be done. There will be work doing some demon work and shadow connecting with the shadow, and there will also be some walking meditations that will be done, all within the context of a shamanic experience, and all within the context of connecting with the spirit world from a Men Who Love Men perspective. This is, it's almost hard to describe because every year is different in terms of the space itself provides such a wonderful, magical experience. And when you bring us in as Men Who Love Men and the connection we have there, it really becomes this magical world where folks are able to connect with each other both on a physical, emotional, spiritual, energetic side. And each person comes away with their own wonderful experience that also adds to the greater shared common experience.
How I know that Stone and Stang is normally every 2 years. Which number is this one? How many Stone and Stangs have there been so far?
Yeah, it's every other year, so we are in 2016. So the last one was in 2014. And that was when the decision was made to go to every other year, and then there was one in 2013. So this is the third Stone and Stang. The first one was held in the mountains north of Los Angeles. And then in 2014, we were able to find a beautiful location in the mountains of Santa Cruz, which is close to San Jose, so people close can fly into there, or Monterey Airport, and really it's on a off-the-grid retreat center, and so you can go and just be yourself. You can, you know, if you want to go become naked as a jaybird, you can do that as well. It really lends itself to focusing in on the experience that you're having there without distraction. There's phone cell coverage is nil, and there's no no Wi-Fi, and there's no TV. There's just the sounds of nature and a wonderful wood-fired hot tub, which is a lot of fun. Trails through the woods, beautiful fire pits and labyrinths, and a lot. I can attest, having been there a few times, a lot of wonderfully magical experience that happens there.
Share with us some highlights from the last on Stone and Stang.
Oh, goodness. So in 2014, we had Storm Fairy Wolf do a workshop there. We also had Tommy Starchild, who's now a brother initiate, do a workshop. Tommy's workshop was on the Warrior and the Healer, and then he expanded that out to talk about pulling spirit, which is connecting with your, you know, your spirit self. We had workshops on working with trees and wood energies. We had a workshop because we'd like to have, you know, information about community and community building workshop on community decision making, consensus building. We had an intense dance with the dark god and the dark goddess of the unnamed path. We had energy work workshops where folks got to practice their energy healing, and if they knew nothing about that, got to be exposed to that and have the opportunity to learn skills and techniques. They got to hang out in the hot tub. They got to dance. They got to cuddle. It's just been amazing in terms of the experiences that folks have had, and just yeah. And the great thing about it is because it's a smaller venue, it's a real intimate gathering. Folks have the opportunity to build friendships and make connections, and we really value that.
What would you say is something that you're looking for? Like, what event or not event, what workshop are you looking forward to this year at this year's Stern and Stang?
I would say that, that's a good question, because I usually try not to go into weekends that I have an overall expectation of, because I just want to have fun with what I'm, you know, where I'm going, what I'm doing. But I let's see here. I'm frantically trying to bring up the schedule because I wanted to highlight it. So I'm just going to continue to talk and occupy time and say that it is a wonderful, wonderful experience that folks should attend to. And let's see, here we go. Hi. All right, so we are going to Ken Campos, who's one of our brothers, is going to be doing a workshop focused around a book called Shamanism, Archaic Techniques of Ecstasy. So that sounds pretty amazing. There's also going to be couple of fun evening experiences. There's going to be a fire dance on Saturday night, and then on Sunday night there's going to be an underwear party.
Oh, wow.
So that should be, yes, that should be fun. And then I also know that there's going to be some story time, right, Matthew?
Yes, there's going to, yes, there's, yeah, we're going to do a little sharing of personal myths and an opportunity for folks to draw on their inspiration and create new myths and new legends that will sustain the future generations as we kind of recreate or create anew. You know, I kind of see this as helping to create a society, a way of living that's more in balance and in tune with our personal truths and with nature. And I think part of that is creating new sacred stories and pulling from the spirit world, listening to the spirits and allowing them to speak through us in metaphor and poetry.
And for folks who want to know, the schedule is listed at stoneandstang.com under the programming tab.
David, when is the last day that anyone who's interested in Stone and Stang can sign up?
The last day that folks can register for Stone and Stang? The last day that folks can register for Stone and Stang really is October the 5th. And the reason for that is that we need to get information back to folks so that they have it in terms of getting to the location and all the necessary information they need to pack and get that. But yeah, so October the 5th. Is really the last day that folks can register.
If someone's
so
sitting
one of
on
the reason,
oh, sorry.
No,
go
I,
ahead,
I was just going to say, one of the reasons I was asking is because, you know, I clicked on the link because I haven't really, because I'm not going to Stern and Stang this year, I really haven't looked at a lot of this stuff, but I clicked on, like, the housing stuff, and I just noticed it said, sales end October 1st for the housing for the event.
Well, I will make sure that we correct all that and so folks, I mean, the sooner the better would be wonderful. I know that folks have scheduling things. The reality is that we can be flexible, but realize that the closer we get to the time of Stone and Stang, the less flexibility there will be because of the fact that we ourselves will be traveling. So if you want to go and you decide the day before Stone, you know, Thursday before Stone and Stang starts, there's a less likelihood that I'll be able to get in contact with you and get you the information that you need to know in order to attend. So,
David, if someone's sitting on the fence and they're not sure about registering, not sure about investing in going, what would you say to them to nudge them to take that jump?
I would say that you know, you have an opportunity to attend an event that is a safe space for you to be who you are as a man who loves men. And that definition is broadly defined. You can share time, learn about yourself, learn about your community, learn about others, have fun, relax. Really, you know, if you wanted to, you could just come up and spend the entire weekend in the redwoods, go hiking, There's a workshop that it attracts you, attend it. If it doesn't, then don't. But really, we offered this stoning staying because there were folks who wanted to connect not only with other men who love men, but wanted to connect with brothers of the unnamed path. And this is really a special, intimate opportunity for that to occur in a safe space, in a space that promotes you being the wonderful person that you are. And on the West Coast, there are few opportunities like this that are focused in on a spiritual, magical experience. There are larger conferences. There are gatherings for all sexes, but this is really focused in on those who identify as men who love men. And maybe you might be on the edge about if you are someone who is a man who loves men. Maybe you are curious or questioning about that and want to have an opportunity to get to know other men who love men. This is a safe space for you to come in and meet other men who love men and ask questions.
Is Stone and Stang the right place for someone to go? Maybe if they're just starting their spiritual journey and they don't have a whole lot of knowledge yet and this whole world is new to them?
Yes, I would say it is. It is an opportunity for you to explore that and to ask questions and to have experiences and engage in activities that may help you learn more about what it is that you are curious about, what you are experiencing, what you may have questions about. Every activity, everything that we do is done in a way that is it's a safe container for you to have the experience. There are folks there who, if you have an experience that you have questions about, or perhaps even some things that might have triggered some things, then there are folks there who can answer your questions and work with you directly in terms of what it is you're experiencing. And maybe the unnamed path is not what you need. Maybe it's some other type of magical tradition or something else that's calling to you, and you just haven't heard of it or haven't connected with it. And there's folks who are knowledgeable on other traditions and other magical paths that may be able to help guide you to that and give you information so you can continue on your journey. Or you may just come and find out that, you know, my path is my own and I don't have a connection to any kind of tradition, but I get to experience my spirituality and my magical worldview surrounded by redwoods and men who love men.
We have about 10 minutes left. Michael, do we have any listener questions, or has anyone popped up on the chat with anything?
Yes, actually. Our brother, Paul, has been in the chat room. He's mentioned a couple of things.
Paul.
One of the first things he mentioned was, In his honest opinion, Matthew was the star student of his initiate class.
I don't know about that, but thank you.
He also asked, what word has Matthew coined for the storytelling event? I don't know what that means.
I do.
It's mythopoeia, and mythopoeia comes from the Greek. It means to create myths. And the word was actually coined by J.R.R. Tolkien to describe the literary genre of creating myths. For example, Tolkien did that in his Tales of Middle-earth. And So I've adopted that as a convenient name for our storytelling workshop that we're going to do, because many people might be familiar with Joseph Campbell's The Power of Myth, and certainly in both the spiritual world and the world of psychology, myths are often employed as a powerful tool for personal transformation. And I think that as our society evolves, becomes more accepting, the time has come for us to practice mythopoeia, to create new myths that are relevant, stories that are going to inspire the next generation to hopefully have a much easier time of things than we have coming from a society with the particular dysfunctions that we've inherited.
Okay. We do have a question that was submitted by a listener from our last episode, but doesn't really have anything to do with what we've been talking about today. So I'm going to ask it.
Okay.
If you think it might take too long to answer, we can save it for another time. But we had questions submitted
by
Arwen.
I have a special announcement that I want to make at some point too. So,
Go ahead. What is your announcement?
So I know that there have been questions posted, and folks have wondered, the unnamed path, the teachers of the unnamed path, we're all on our own in terms of when we do classes. And there's no set schedule because it really depends on where a teacher is at that point. There have been some inquiries as of late, and I know folks who were not able to get on previous classes. And so I would like to announce that I will be beginning classes in November. And I would encourage folks who are interested in studying with me to email me at drshorey, that's S-H-O-R-E-Y, @gmail.com. That's drshorey, S-H-O-R-E-Y, @gmail.com. I do a little bit of interviewing with any prospective students. I may determine that for whatever reason, you may fit with other teacher better. So I will be screening folks. But I would encourage folks who are interested in studying the Unnamed Path, or maybe even just curious and want to learn about what the apprenticeship involves, to go ahead and contact me. I'll set up a time, we can talk. And go from there. So this will be the second round of classes that I have that I will be doing. It just feels like now is a good time to do that. And I wanted to let people know.
Cool. That's exciting.
Awesome. Yes. And, we're going to hold off on that listener question because I keep reading it, and that question could be a whole episode on its own. We might just need to get a couple other brothers
discuss
this.
Give us a sneak preview.
Okay. Well, the question from Arwen was, if you guys are taking questions, I'd love to hear more about the relationship between the dark and light God. Not really a question, but it's more of they want a bit of an explanation of their relationship. So that will definitely be a topic for an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll definitely need to have probably a couple other brothers on so that we can all give our own little thing on that.
And I would encourage, is it Arwen?
Yes, Arwen.
I would encourage Arwen to really do work to connect with both of those deities themselves, to help find that answer for themselves, because it's something that we can answer from our experience, but in building an experience on your own, you develop a relationship with the dark and the light god that allows you to have insight about their relationship to each other. If you've listened to the podcast, there are podcasts that describe the gods. There's also podcasts that go through activities and exercises that you can utilize to build stronger connections with both. So www.unnamedpath.com is the website of the Unnamed Path that casts from there. You can also, I believe, still access them through iTunes. So,
yes.
But yeah, having an episode on that would be great. But really, build your own connections with them, because those are the connections that are really valuable and really important in order for you to have the true answer to that question.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again, David, for joining us on our second episode. It was so much fun having you on. Hope we didn't, you know, bombard you with too many questions.
Oh, I'm happy to be on. I'm happy to answer questions. I thank you guys immensely for doing this this podcast, radio blog. I forget what it is now called, but
above.
Right. I just want to say that in tribute to you both, you know, you all are providing a venue for lack of a better term, the next generation of Unnamed Path, podcast and material, and the service that you are providing to the magical community as a whole is very valuable. And so thank you for doing this. I love you both immensely, and I'm so very proud and excited to be friends, brothers, and pathwalkers with
you. Thank you,
well,
David. I appreciate
Yes.
everything you do.
Well,
and
love the listeners. I was just going to say, we have we only have a few seconds left. So hope you're joining us for our next show in a couple of weeks. I believe it will be the 8th. Oh, that will be the week Matthew is out of town. So we'll hopefully have a special guest host. Yes. So thanks again, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thank you, everybody. Be blessed.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are, at any time you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years, and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.